Myth number four. If I examine myself carefully before Holy Communion, as Paul instructs us to do, by the way, then I don't need private confession. Now, I mentioned Paul's words there. It's easy to see how someone might be confused. Can you clear up the confusion?
Well, in private confession and absolution and in Holy Communion, people receive forgiveness. God speaks to people individually and personally, and God's purpose is to assure people of their righteous standing before Him and to strengthen them. So there's lots of similarities. But there are differences. The Lord's Supper is most often a public sacrament. Private absolution, in the nature of the case, is given privately. Communion, of course, involves receiving the Lord's body and blood under bread and wine. Confession and absolution, if anything, are a return to baptism, as again and again by daily contrition and repentance we drown the old Adam and God brings forth the new man. We really shouldn't be pitting against one another the various ways that God has of giving us His grace. I mean, we wouldn't think of saying that we don't need sermons because we have the Lord's Supper. Why should we say we don't need absolution because we have the Lord's Supper?
How is it that the Lord's Supper came to take the place of, or in the minds of people, render obsolete confession and absolution?
Now, that is a long story. I mean, this whole story of minimizing confession and absolution, we could do a whole program on that. A large share of it came during the Enlightenment of the 18th century when sin was minimized, God was minimized. But I think what you're asking about, where communion and associated practices pushed confession and absolution into the background, goes back even further. Before the Enlightenment was the era of pietism, roughly the last half of the 17th century, the early part of the 18th century. And it was during that time that it was proposed that those desiring to commune should come to the pastor prior to the communion service to announce their intent to commune. This would give an opportunity when the communicant came in for the communicant and the pastor to have a little heart-to-heart talk. The pietists liked the idea of a heart-to-heart talk instead of confession and absolution. Now, the content of the talk could be good or bad. It could be about salutary and wonderful things in God's Word, or it could end up being trivial. But in any case, it was more or less inevitable that if the pastor is seeing all those people for that purpose of registering for communion, it was tying up his time to the point where he could not hear confessions and absolve penitents. So I think you already have the beginnings of the demise of widespread private confession and absolution already in the era of pietism.